All right, I'll do the intro over again. Sorry, you didn't get the intro. All right. John 10, 1 through 6 to start. Somebody, Chuck, go for it, man.
Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize the stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them.
All right, so remembering the context, Jesus here, right before this, had healed a man, and they were questioning him about it. And this is when Jesus was around the Jerusalem area, and they were looking into it, and the Pharisees come and talk to Jesus about it. So this is what he says to the Pharisees, ironically. He says this to the Pharisees. We treasure these words, and we'll see why, but just keep that in mind. Well, first of all, what do you remember about the Pharisees before we move on? Synopsis of the Pharisees. Go ahead.
Leaders of the Jewish community.
Okay, leaders of the Jewish community.
Put a lot of emphasis on Old Testament being the line of Abraham, following the laws. I mean, they gave Jesus a hard time, some of them, because they didn't believe that he was really the Savior. They challenged him a lot and asked him a lot of challenging questions to try to trick him.
That's a good way to say it, yeah. And why did they challenge him? Why did they think he wasn't the Savior, the Messiah? Did they think they needed one?
No, the Savior. Yeah, they thought they were saved through all the actions, all the laws that they kept from the Old Testament, plus whatever they added to.
Yeah, well, that's the way to say it. Yeah, so we follow God's law in the Old Testament so perfectly, and we even add all these other ones to make sure we do. So our righteousness is so high that God must love us. And we talked about that a little bit last week when one of the teachers of the law came with that question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? So these Pharisees focused on work righteousness, and then this is what Jesus says to them. So let's look at the picture there. The picture to the right is what many sheepfolds looked like in Jesus' day. Not all of them, but some of them. Based on the picture, explain what Jesus really means by the following aspects in his figure of speech. What does he mean by the sheep pen?
Place together.
Okay, place together. Specifically, what does he really mean? What's the picture pointing to?
Heaven.
Heaven is a big part of it. Not just heaven, but ultimate goal, heaven.
Protected place.
Protected place, okay. What else? You'll kind of see as we go along, the sheep pen also is not just that final goal in heaven, but it's also just being part of God's people. Right? Where the sheep go, they should go to the sheepfold. That's where being part of God's kingdom is pictured. Mark. It was meant by the sheep. By the sheep?
Us.
Us, as in?
Believers.
Believers, yeah, that's a way to go. Why is that the perfect picture for us?
We have no way of making it to heaven on our own. We need him to guide us there.
Yeah, we have no way of getting to heaven. Why? What do we do often as sheep? What do sheep do? Stray. Not the most intelligent beings in the world. They stray. And in fact, like I shared this in a sermon one time, sheep will follow the leader so much, and they're really not cognizant of what's going on, that they'll just keep following the leader. Even if one leader, I think it was in Turkey a number of years ago, a sheep went off over the cliff, and so did all the other sheep in that flock. Just follow them right off the cliff, and they all died. So, not the most intelligent beings. And yet also, why is it a perfect picture for us in a positive way? Sheep usually have who taking care of them?
Shepherd.
Shepherd. Yeah, so that's a neat positive picture that we're being taken care of too. So look at letter C, who's meant by the shepherd?
Protector.
Okay.
Jesus
would be this one. Yeah, the shepherd. He'll make that pretty clear in the later on in this lesson. But some say that this could also be like pastors and teachers in this picture because of what we'll see in the next picture. Jesus is going to call himself the gate, but take a look at the picture. With the gate, sometimes what did you see? Picture right there in the front.
He's guarding the entrance.
Yeah, he's guarding the entrance. So if he's the gate and he's the shepherd, they kind of that picture will kind of work together. But we'll talk about what he means by the gate in a little bit too. So this could mean pastors and teachers, but I don't think there's any reason why we wouldn't think that this is Jesus too. Letter D, what is meant by thieves and robbers? So think if with the picture that we've set up so far, if the sheep pen is God's kingdom, if the sheep are believers, the shepherd is Jesus, who are thieves and robbers?
Everybody is outside the pen. Everything is outside the pen.
Okay, but specifically what are thieves and robbers, what are they trying to do?
Steal away.
Yeah, look where they're coming. If they're going to steal something, where are they going to go?
Inside.
By what means?
We're
going to try to hop over the fence, right? And Jesus will reference that later on too, but these thieves and robbers then in our lives, who would those be?
Anything that tries to pull us away from our focus on Jesus.
Yeah, anything that pull our focus away from Jesus. Like what? Give me an example.
Money, worldly possessions.
Okay, so money, worldly possessions, and people that try to tempt you with those things.
Right. So you've got people who are bad influences to do things that you know are contrary to what God wants us to do.
Okay, bad influences. What else? Remember who he's talking to.
Almost like our sinful nature.
Okay, that's one.
It's the Pharisees are putting their salvation on themselves, right? So they made themselves the God in a way.
And what were they teaching the people to do?
Follow them.
Yeah, follow them. And was their way toward salvation? No, so then who would also be the thieves and robbers?
False prophets
and teachers. Yeah, exactly. The Pharisees themselves would be thieves and robbers, and that's why Jesus here is talking to them about that. So false teachers, give me an example of, well, we'll get into it. Number two, list the thieves and robbers that threaten your children.
Worldwide
web. Worldwide web, okay, and social media together, yeah.
Wrong kind of friends.
Wrong kind of friends.
The wrong kind of teachers.
What kind of teachers?
Sometimes it's, sadly, it's hard to say, but their parents when they set a bad example.
Yeah.
And if you want them to live a certain way, you should be imitating that as much as possible. We are sinful, so we fall short. But,
yep, very true. It's good reminding us.
Mm. Other members of the family. Sometimes, you know, it's good. Not everybody's a believer in the family. Mm-hmm. You know, pull kids a certain way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'm getting into the next one. Hold that thought.
Okay, you hold that thought.
Don't forget it.
Right there.
Thanks. Any others for your children? I think with all those things that you mentioned, kind of together to culture, influence of culture can be a tough one. Science, not all science, but some mainstream science can make some claims that try to attack the Bible, that can affect you too. What about you? Thieves and robbers that threaten you. Sam.
And I was kind of reasoning, I wanted to hold it off, but I was thinking, okay, the thieves and robbers and children, our children, hold me, you, to a high standard, to a, you know, they hold your feet to the fire because, well, you're a mentor. You're supposed to be a example. You want to be an example. And with all the outside influences that they have available to them today, it's real, it seems to be more, they have more opportunities to question why we do some of the things that we do. At least why it's been my experience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, the thieves and robbers that threaten them sometimes could be ourselves because we're not always thinking about them and being an example. We get involved with some of the other things that we mentioned that are part of the world.
Yeah, so we ourselves can be influenced by the world. I can be a thief and a robber for us. What else for us? For you.
Ourselves.
What's that?
Ourselves.
Ourselves in what way?
Sinful nature.
Sinful nature.
Constantly there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It kind of goes along with the sinful nature days, but all the different things that come up, like that I deserve something, and then we get bitter and angry, and the devil uses that to take our focus right off of Jesus because I'm really upset about this or that instead of figuring out how to solve that in a Christian way.
Yeah.
Not that we're not going to have challenges, but it can go too far to distract us.
Mm-hmm.
Despair.
Despair can be.
Culture again, like trying to walk the fine line of being in the world but not of the world.
Not easy to do.
Time.
Time?
Yeah. They go around with time to go to church, around time to, you know, help out around, you know, excuses. I say maybe that's excuses.
But excuses.
And work.
It's work, yeah. Again.
Work, you know.
Focus on work.
Mm-hmm.
And time in terms of priorities, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes we get our priorities wrong. So with all that in mind, the next one. All that in mind, remember, you are shepherded against these thieves and robbers that try to threaten you. Number three, what comforts do the following statements of Jesus express for you and me then? A, the sheep listen to his voice.
So, I feel like if you're listening to his voice, you're following him, so you're trusting him. So it's he's basically got control over it.
Yeah, he's got control over it. Good. What else?
Great. The fact that he is giving us his voice is just amazing, right? We just named all the things that distract us in our sinfulness, but yet he's calling for us. Like he wants us to be in heaven someday, but he's giving us a way. Like he didn't just leave us to go down the wrong path forever.
Yeah, the sheep straying.
Because he gave us his word. The message is there for faith.
Yeah. Brock, you're heading off over the cliff. Come back.
Okay.
Calls up to us through the word. Adrian.
I'm just going to say in the ministry here at St. Mark's, from teaching middle school to kindergarten now, the older kids just question and they just are so curious, I guess. And then the little ones, you tell them Jesus loves you, Jesus, okay. You know, they're just so trusting and excited and eager that they just soak it all up. So just the difference that our minds and our hearts have as we grow older, that it becomes more of a challenge sometimes to reach those hearts and minds. And when the children are little, they're just so trusting and willing to hear the message.
And so in the word, to have Jesus say, that is the example to follow, right? And then also, when we do have those questions, he's given us his voice to guide us. Brett?
That's what I was just going to build and say. You keep going back to the same thing, all right? No matter what age they are, as adults or middle schoolers or kindergartners, you still have that same word, the same message you keep giving them.
And you can understand why they question a lot of things in the Bible. It's, I mean, let's be honest, it's irrational in so many ways. It doesn't make sense. It's illogical, right? When we're talking about a resurrection, we're talking about a three-in-one God. We're talking about a God who created everything by his word. We're talking about a worldwide flood, if you want to get into a specific thing, or miracles. These are illogical things. And yet you and I believe them. Why? That voice is powerful. That word is powerful. Created the world. Created faith in our hearts, too. So, powerful voice. What else? What are the comforts? Any others from that one?
Well, I'll take you down a different rabbit hole for just a minute, I think.
We're on sheep right here, not rabbits.
No, I'm joking. Okay, different.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
The sheep listen to his voice. And in this reference, they're talking about the flock of God, or Jesus. Jesus being the voice. That's almost a command to parents that when the kids are listening, you need to provide that voice. You need to speak. You need to set the example. Give them the truth. In the best ability that you have, answer their questions. And my point is, you know, that's kind of taking it away from what the lesson is. But as a parent, that's part of your responsibility.
No, I said it fits the picture perfectly, right? Because you and I say, I mean, with sheep, they're not all adult sheep either. Mm-hmm. You've got little sheep, and what are they following? Their mom and dad, who are following the shepherd. So they have the same thing with us. If you wanted to stretch the picture, I think that's a great application. And God be praised. Where do we go as parents? You ever get to that? Like, what do I do? I have no idea. Wait. Here's God's word. It tells me his will. It tells me what's right. I'm going to follow this no matter what. And then children can follow that example.
Adults, we have mentors. We have pastors. We have teachers. We have the scriptures. So there's always an answer, but we have to be willing to seek it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Well said. The letter B, he calls his own sheep by name. What comfort does that give you? All these threats to you. Mark.
So he knows us individually. So he knows what we're going through and whatever that is, or whatever sins we have, not new to him. So I think more personal, right?
Yeah, very personal. You're right. Okay.
It's so relational. Like he wants this back and forth relation. He's not just this guy that's like, oh, you minions, do this, do that. He's like, no, Heather, come here. Heather, come do this.
Yeah.
And then I also noticed the word own sheep, like that word his. So I was taking ownership. So that implies some kind of, you know, taking care and watching over protecting as well.
Yeah, it's not that I don't know them. They're, not only do I know them, but they're mine. Yeah, it's comforting. He calls his own sheep by name, too. There's that idea of being chosen. You know, the Bible talks about that idea of believers being chosen. It doesn't mean that God, you know, it's a gospel comfort. We don't say that therefore God didn't choose anyone else. No, but for you and I, say we're in that position where we're like, how do I even know God not just knows me but cares for me? How does he know, or how do I know that he wants me to be his? Well, we have verse, he calls his own sheep by name. You've been chosen. You're a believer. That's a comfort. Call that in theology the doctrine of election. Election is choosing. Letter C, he goes on ahead of them.
Setting an example.
One, the example, good.
He's leading us.
Leading us, that's right. And therefore, what comes in with that? We can follow. Exactly.
Well, this makes me think back to like in the Old Testament or even in history, a lot of times back then the leader was also the first one to go into war, right? It kind of changed after a while where the leader was kind of in the back watching,
you go,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I remember even King David, there's some things, right? There was points where David originally was in front, he pulled back, and then he went kind of back to being in front again. But that means he's going to meet the enemy first, right? If you're out in front, Jesus is always victorious.
Not only was a shepherd, this was made for me by somebody when I was an intern, pastoral intern. It's got a little compass on the top, and had a little string here, but I took the shepherd's staff. You think, if you're out there, not only does it keep the sheep in line, right? Kind of smack them on the butt a little bit to keep them in line, but what else are you using it for? Not to play baseball, but defend, yeah. What's the threat? So many different threats, and not just these robbers, but wolves and other animals and predators. And he's out leading you, going on ahead of you, clearing your path. What else?
For C?
Yeah, for C, yeah.
Well, when I look at that, I think when you have kids, there's a expectation that you as the parent, you're willing to go before them, and they're looking for you to do that. And as they get older, that kind of changes when they become teens, and they want to get more independent, and don't want you to go before. They want to kind of make their own mistakes, but I think when they're young, they gain an appreciation for seeing you go before them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that appreciation grows deeper than later on in life, too. They remember that example that you gave them. You know, back in the day, I remember being mad at my parents. You know, so, you know, restricting in so many ways, and I look back, and what do we become? Our parents? Mm-hmm. Our parents, right? So important to have that good example that they can go back on. You think God thinks of the same for us, too, right? Like, why are you bucking my leadership? Yeah, he still goes on ahead of us and does that for us. Letter D, his sheep follow him because they know his voice.
Yes, I picture like safety and comfort, just home, the woods, your safe place.
Yeah. Just at home.
Isn't that why we're here? Because we're following his voice, we're following him.
Absolutely.
Comforted.
Yeah, look where you're sitting. Look where your kids are sitting. They know his voice too.
With sheep, they get to know their shepherd's voice because that's their world. I think that's a reminder for us to keep God central so that he's our world and you follow him.
It's important to recognize that voice, and you got to be around it. Mm-hmm. Right? They say that unborn babies can hear the tones, and so they kind of can recognize the tones too. Similar thing, be around them. You know his voice. What did you know before he called you by name? You did not know his voice. You and I, by nature, sinful, stray, and yet what did God do? He made us recognize his voice too, brought us to faith. Some comfort in that too. All right. Which of those four do you think is the most important for you right now in your life? To remember. Maybe you've got some worries that you're struggling with, maybe you've got some difficulties, maybe you've got some doubts. Which one of those is important for you right now? You don't have to say it out loud. Take that with you today. Number four. Jesus says in verse 5, but they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. So how do we distinguish between the shepherd's voice and a stranger's voice?
Measure it against what the Bible says,
what God's word tells us. Okay, God's word. That's exactly right. But what if the stranger is also quoting the Bible? I had that rebuttal ready.
It goes back to the point D of the previous question, they know his voice, and it's a familiar voice. So as you're here in Bible study or in church, you hear it regularly. So even if you come across somebody who claims to be speaking from the Bible, you can have that little voice in your head that says, that doesn't sound quite right. And because it's not familiar.
Yep. Goes right back to being around anymore, right?
You said what I was going to say.
Every time I see your hand up, I'm going to try to guess what you're about to say.
It's happened,
so I've done already.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yeah, being around it more and more, that's right. You know, if somebody quotes a passage in Scripture and it's out of context, you know that by studying it and knowing the context around it. Remember the devil quoted the Bible to Jesus. And Jesus knew the context and really knew the larger picture of Scripture. So making sure that we understand the whole thing too and how it works together. Your hand up again?
No.
Did I take those? Maybe?
I think sometimes we're quick to respond, and in instances like that, maybe taking a step back and thinking things through or finding a resource that's more knowledgeable than ourselves is a good, reliable person or place to go.
Yeah. Very important as a Bible studier to recognize I don't know this as well as someone else did, you know.
That sometimes you don't be so quick to react.
Yeah.
If you're talking about witnessing to people too, what an opportunity to come back and say, hey, can I come back to you with that?
Yeah.
Think about that a little bit. Like, yeah, sometimes we feel bad. I've thought about that, like when we've gone knocking on doors, like what if they ask a question that's like I just can't quite get it. And what a great opportunity to say, you know, thanks for asking that question. I'm going to go to the Bible and look up and can I call you back or send you an email or whatever? And
I want to
keep talking about this.
I want to make sure it's right. Yeah.
So you remind me.
They tell us at the seminary for pastors, they say, if you're a pastor, you're going to have this feeling where I have to prove to my congregation that I know this stuff. Because you're going to think that if I don't know this stuff, they're going to doubt my leadership or my ability to teach. Don't be afraid to say those three words. I don't know. And so that's one of the important things too. If there's everything, let me get back to you on that. Very little question.
Well, there's an example for us in the Bible too with Paul with the Bereans, right? Paul was this great guy and he came and the people heard about Paul and he's preaching, but they tested everything he said to make sure it was in the Bible. Mm-hmm. They didn't just say, oh, this is Paul, we've heard about him, he's good. They even tested him. So,
yep.
Could check him out.
And that's God's pleasing thing to do, check it out. Mm-hmm. Alright, letter A, we kind of already got into that. Ways can become better at distinguishing the difference. But what I want you to do is I want you to get specific. I want you to take, I don't know, 30 seconds. Just think to yourself, alright, specifically. You know, we can all say, yeah, I need to read the Bible more, I need to be around it more. But specific for you and your family and your lives, what can you do? Like, I'm going to read the Bible at this time, or I'm going to read this book, or this time, I want to, you know, devotion at this time, or wherever. Just take 30 seconds, think about a specific way that you can be better at distinguishing that, getting in the Word. Just take a look. Verse 6 says the Pharisees did not understand what Jesus was telling them. What did the Pharisees prove about themselves?
They weren't following Jesus.
They weren't following Jesus. They weren't part of his sheep, right? They didn't understand him. So my sheep know my voice? They obviously didn't. So number 5. Now let's move on to the next section. Let's read 7 to 10. Can I get somebody to read verses 7 to 10? That next paragraph. It's always funny when I ask, you know, can I get somebody to read? Everybody's kind of like, I'll read, but I don't want to take it from somebody. Ryan, go for it. All right.
Therefore, Jesus said again, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.
Number 6, explain how Jesus is the gate for the sheep. What does he mean by that? Way to heaven?
Yeah?
So you have to believe in him to get to heaven. Yeah, believe in him to get to heaven, believe in him to be part of the kingdom of God. That's what he means. He's the gate for the sheep. You can kind of see in the picture, remember, a shepherd sitting there in the gate, so similar thing. Also mentioned the gatekeeper in here, though, too, so there's it's part of the picture. Sometimes there would be someone else. Number 7. Jesus states his ultimate purpose in verse 10. The thief only comes to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. List all the implications of that purpose for your life. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. List all the implications of that for you.
It's funny because like we hear that so much in like American culture, like having life and have it to the full, but it's like totally opposite of what Jesus is talking about here.
Yeah, what's he talking about?
Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All these things will be given to us while we come to life.
Okay, seek his kingdom and his righteousness.
Our spiritual priority should be number one.
And spiritual life for sure. What are their implications?
There's no other way. Like, don't try to be like the Pharisees and come up with a different way.
Okay.
Jesus is the only one.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, the implications. What, when Jesus gave you life as his believer, where do you see that? And what areas of your life, or what? Where do you see that life?
Sorry.
Example of that, like sometimes. Am I going to take your answer?
Maybe.
Right, go ahead.
I was just when you said that, the first thing in mind is just as we live our life and face challenges, the peace that we should always come back to, and knowing that we have our Savior Jesus. Like, that doesn't mean we don't have challenges and we don't have frustrations and cry and be upset, but in general, as we go through life, there can be this constant peace reminder that we have Jesus and he's really good.
I was going to take it in a way, yeah. So yeah, when something bad happens, it almost feels like death, or you're headed toward death in a way, and yet we know that we have that life, that peace. All right, maybe this will help. Number 8, I'm getting it. What top factors prevent you from enjoying this Christ-given life to the full? Notice he says they have life and life to the full. That means every aspect of your life, it's saturated with this life that you've been given. And yet, what factors prevent us from enjoying this Christ-given life to the full? Evie?
Okay. For me, it's guilt. Am I being a great mom? Am I raising my kids right? Am I, you know, helping contribute to our family? Am I working hard enough at my job? Am I being a good daughter to support my parents as they get older? All these different things of where I feel like I'm failing, and just the guilt can sometimes weigh you.
Yeah, so there's that fullness, and yet in our minds we can kind of eat away from that. Guilt is a big one.
Worry.
What's going to happen with this? What's going to happen with that?
Should be none of that. Should be no worry.
Say all that. Because they're watching too much HGTV and then they see all the cool houses and stuff and they're like, I wish I had that. And then your focus goes to worldly things and the nice cars and stuff like that. Not that you can't have those blessings, but if that becomes a focus, and you think that you don't have it to the full, but you really do.
Yeah, eats away our contentment, yeah.
Yeah, kind of piggybacking off of that too, like just the priorities, like making sure that my priorities are my spiritual priorities and not like making sure I have my retirement where it needs to be, make sure I'm paying for my kids' education, like all those other like things that the world says you need to have in line, just remembering that the most important thing is that like I have my spiritual life in mind.
The enemy uses all of these things to influence us, to make us feel like there's a better way to enjoy this life that we're living right now, rather than focus on the life that we've been promised once we're finished on this planet.
Absolutely, yeah, it takes away from that. And therefore, with that enemy, let's, that leads us to the next section. Let's read that. With all that in mind, and maybe there are some things that weren't mentioned that prevent you, different factors, keep in mind what we're going to read right now. 11 to 18, can we get somebody to read the first paragraph of that, 11 to 13? Cheryl, and then Mark, you want to take 14 to 18? Okay.
I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep.
I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father.
All right, number 9. The Greek word for good here points to something that is beautiful, noble, or excellent. Something that is of outstanding quality, above the rest kind of idea. With that in mind, explain the contrast Jesus sets up there in 11 through 13.
So it's like platinum, kind of platinum.
He's a platinum shepherd, yeah. Think of it like that. That's what we're going to say. See if that catches up.
Jesus is our platinum
shepherd. Hashtag
platinum
shepherd. Hashtag. Like him.
So he's got, there's the hired hand, right? He's still a shepherd, but he's hired, doesn't care for the sheep. And yet you have this other shepherd who is, he is the above and beyond sheep. He is the good sheep, the platinum. I'm sorry, shepherd. He is the platinum shepherd. And so he even lays down his life for the sheep. We're going to skip number 10 for now. For sake of time, we're going to go to 11. Jesus says, I know my sheep and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. Think about that. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. This is the Son of God and the Father. In what ways does this humble you? How unified and how well do you think the Father and the Son know each other?
Pretty good.
Pretty good. You know, we think about that Trinity. You can't separate it, right? And
pretty good.
Connected idea. Just as. I know my sheep and they know me. Just as. That's how much the Son knows you. That's how much Jesus knows you and is connected with you. Very humbling, in a good way. Humbling makes you feel good, and also in a bad way. You kind of, oh man, he loves me that much, and knows me that much, and what do I do for him? Let's keep going then. Number 12. Jesus reveals another purpose in verse 16. List all the ways he fulfills this purpose. So I have other sheep that are not of this pen, I must bring them also. Off the top of your head, what do you think?
Growing the flock.
Growing the flock, how so?
Through us.
Okay, through us. Yep, we are his ambassadors.
I mean, he is talking to the Pharisees, so it's just one of those instances where he's saying, in that context, that it's not just for you, the chosen people, but for all people.
Yeah.
Gentiles, all the people that lived around them that were Jewish.
Exactly, yeah. Not just the Jews, but also the Gentiles. That's his main underlying point there. They go to church.
Second.
We share the message. lots of different ways. Come on, Andy. All right, let's end on number 13. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. I lay down my life only to take it up again. Any questions? I think Jesus makes pretty clear. It said Jesus is less than a year out from dying for our sins when he's teaching this in Jerusalem. Was there any doubt what he was going to do? And it's kind of neat as you go through the section and you see each time he says it, he kind of adds a new aspect to it. So with all the guilt that we have, all of that difficulties and the doubt and the worry, what does he remind us of over and over again? He's in control. And there, what did he ultimately do for us? Laid down his life for us. If that doesn't show his care, nothing will. That's why he is the best shepherd. He died, he paid for that guilt, he paid for all of that worry. 100% forgiven. Now adults, if you look on the back, there's some different phrases. Looking at that whole section of 10:1-18, on your own you can take the study home and just kind of look, what parts of this section would I use to answer those questions, or what could I use? Some different comments that you can hear out there in the world. This section has a lot packed into it. A lot. Alright, take a couple of minutes, we'll wait for the other kids to come out. Our gate. Jesus is the way to heaven. That is awesome. Oh, I really like this. How cool is that?
Wrong.
You guys see what this is?
A shadow.
This was made for me a number of years ago. It's a shepherd's staff. Someone wanted to make, you guys know what pastor means?
Yes.
Pastor means? Shepherd. Pastor means shepherd. And so they made it for me as a symbol of what I'd be doing. It's really neat. So a shepherd's staff, it's not just, for walking, that can help, I guess, too. But where do shepherds have to know where to go? Why do they have to know where to go? Where do they lead the sheep to? Maybe lead the sheep to pasture. Maybe lead them to water, wherever they can. And you see what's on top here? It's a compass. That's right. So the shepherd knows where to go. The shepherd also leading the way out in front. And if there's any animals that come by, what does the shepherd do? Quiet?
Defend the sheep with
his
staff.
Yeah, defends it, fights off the animals. That's right. King David, maybe you remember this. King David in the Old Testament talked about how he would fight off the lion and the bear with a sling and a stone.
Hey.
So in what ways does Jesus guide us? Grace?
Guides us away from sin.
Away from sin? Good. What else? Sin and Satan? Do you say Satan? Or sin? Sin. How does he protect us? What does he fight off? What?
He says,
the devil? Yeah, he fights off the devil.
The devil, all
right. Good. So God be praised. We have a shepherd. Oh, you have another one? My stick is what? It's actually wood, but you know what he did? He covered it with some sort of lacquer. Isn't that cool? You can kind of see it kind of drippy right there. All right. Let's sing a song about our awesome shepherd. You got it right there in front of you. I am Jesus' little lamb. Let's go ahead and sing that one. 432. Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, we praise you for shepherding us. Thank you for giving us your voice to listen to in your word. Guide us to always be strengthened by your word and look to your word for guidance. Lord, when we're threatened by things, whether outside or inside, we ask that you protect us like a good shepherd does. Lord, ultimately, always point us to the fact that you laid down your life for your sheep. You died for our sins. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do for us. We ask everything in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Have a good week, everybody.
God bless you. Amen. Do you want to please back to